Today, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of the new FastPass Plus system. That's coming up on this episode 6 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go. I am your host, Shannon Albert. This is the show where we talk ideas and strategy for people planning their Disney World trips. I hope you're doing well today. I wanted to quickly remind you to, if you could, please leave a rating on iTunes. And you can easily do that by going to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes. And I wanted to start reading some. I've had lots of nice reviews and ratings being left. And so there is this one person whose name is Pop99TY. Usernames are always funny to say out loud when you're used to reading them but not saying them out loud. So Pop99TY says, "I'm really enjoying listening to this podcast. There's so much helpful information. I'm learning things I never even knew I needed to know. I am hooked and will continue to listen in." So thank you for that review. But that review also reminded me of Pocahontas, that I'm learning things I never knew. And I'm thinking that'd be a really good tagline. I'm thinking about using that on the site or on the podcast. Anyway, thank you for that review. And if you could leave a review, if you feel inclined, I would appreciate it. It helps it show up in the search results when people are looking for Disney World information within iTunes. You can also find me, obviously, on wdwprepschool.com, where there are a couple of new posts a week, including recently a post that I just created that had me up all night. Literally, I hit publish at 7 a.m. and I hadn't been to sleep yet because it took so long to put together and I didn't want to miss a deadline because I'm on a schedule, a publishing schedule. So you can always find new information there, and as well on social media, you can look for WDW Prep School on Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Tumblr, and the Facebook page. So as I said in the intro, we're going to talk about FastPass Plus. And as of this moment when I'm recording this, FastPass Plus is currently still in testing. It is in a huge test where lots of people are involved. And so we don't fully know what the live version of the system is going to look like. But every test that they've done has given us clues about how it's going to work because there's been some consistencies. And so we can kind of make some good educated guesses. However, it is predicted that it will be rolling out by the end of 2013, so it's time for us to start talking about it. I'm getting lots of questions, and I don't have the answers to all the questions because we just don't know how it's ultimately going to work, but there are some things that we can speculate or safely assume, and so I want to kind of go through the pros and cons of those things. We'll go ahead and dive into that. Before we do, I wanted to just mention, if you have any questions about your own trip or feedback or tips for the podcast, you can email podcast@wdwprepschool.com or call 414-WDW-7900, and I can include that on a future episode. So let's dive in. First, we should do an overview of the FastPass system. Now, Disney theme parks have had FastPass for a long, long time. And in general, FastPasses are the ability to reserve a time to ride a ride or visit an attraction within the parks. So currently, you go up to FastPass machines, you insert your park ticket, and out comes a paper ticket that says, "Return to this ride between this time and this time," and then you can go through a shortcut line instead of going through the normal long line. And so we have, over the years, developed great touring plans and systems that make the best use of fast passes and allow you to visit without long lines. The new system is called FastPass Plus, which is Disney's new thing. They add the plus sign to everything. And so this new system is still a reservation for the rides, but it's done ahead of time, up to 60 days ahead of time. And so what you do is you go online, or you can use an app on your phone, and you can make the reservations. They will have kiosks in the parks so that if people don't go online ahead of time, they can use the kiosks in the parks if they don't have a smartphone or access to a computer. So the reservations can be made in a couple of different spots, but they aren't going to be made at the machines like they have been, where you just insert your ticket and get a FastPass ticket out. It's all going to be digital, and it's all going to take place through an app or a website or at a kiosk. So, but the new system does have several nuances to it that are different. Other than just the physical ability to get a ticket, there are differences in how they work. And so I wanted to take a few minutes to go through the pros and cons of FastPass Plus, and within that discussion, it'll kind of reveal how the system will be different than the old FastPass system. So let's be optimists and start with the pros list. It is shorter than the cons list, so we will get through this a little bit faster. Okay, so on the pros side, the first pro is that you can arrive later, which will allow you to sleep in or park hop. Okay, so currently you would wake up early and arrive to the parks before they open so that you can get there as soon as they open, and you can, you know, ride some rides immediately and get some fast passes. Particularly for rides like Toy Story Mania, those fast passes disappear by noon for the entire day. So even if you arrive, you know, at 3 p.m., you can't go to the machines and get a Toy Story Mania Fast Pass because they've long been taken. So with Fast Pass Plus, you can arrive later in the day without worrying about that happening. The other thing is that you could park hop. So for instance, if you wanted to start your day at Magic Kingdom and then move over to Epcot, getting Fast Pass Pluses for the afternoon for Epcot would allow you to visit Magic Kingdom in the morning and skip over to Epcot, and you would already have those Fast Passes in place. Currently, if you go to Magic Kingdom and then go to Epcot, you would have a harder time because the people that were there in the morning would have taken those fast passes out of the machines, and so you wouldn't know if you would have a chance to ride those rides, okay? So you can arrive later. If you want to sleep in, you can already have those pre-made fast passes for later in the day and or park hop, because your second park will have the FastPass Plus is made ahead of time. All right, so arriving later is the first pro. A second pro is that there are new opportunities to use FastPass. So for instance, there is Fantasmic seating, there's fireworks seating, and you can even get a FastPass Plus for the Be Our Guest lunch time, so that you don't have to wait in the long line there. I often advise people to arrive at Be Our Guest at 10:30 because if you get there that early, then you can avoid the long lines that happen closer to noon. However, they are adding a FastPass Plus, which is sort of like having a reservation. But in this case, it's just a FastPass Plus at a quick service restaurant. So the second pro of FastPass Plus is that they are adding more opportunities. That also includes more rides. And that means it's a small world and Haunted Mansion and all these rides that have never had FastPass Plus will now have that option. So the second thing on this pros list is new opportunities to use the FastPass. The third thing on my list is that it will allow you to reduce zigzagging. And so this is one of the issues with the current touring plans that I use and that I suggest other people use, is that it does require at least one person in your group runs around to get fast passes. And so let's take, for instance, Epcot and Animal Kingdom. They each have basically two main rides that you would want to get to first thing. And the second ride, like if you choose, for instance, to go to Test Track, Soarin is the other ride that you need to get to or get a fast pass. FastPass 4 in the morning, but they're not close together. The same is true at Animal Kingdom when you talk about Kilimanjaro Safari and Expedition Everest. They both need fast passes or to be ridden first thing in the morning. They're not close together. So if you have some FastPass Pluses made ahead of time, you could, for instance, arrive to Animal Kingdom first thing in the morning, and you could go to ride the Safaris ride, but your FastPass Plus could be made for Expedition Everest. And no one has to physically run over there and get it because you've already made it online. So it allows for less running around because you can just kind of make your way around and get there at your FastPass Plus time that's been reserved ahead of time. Okay, so that's the third pro. Now we need to dive into the cons list. And it has more than three on it. Okay, So the first con on the list is that you will likely only be allowed one park per day and only 3, maybe 4 fast passes per day. So this is an issue for a lot of people. So, you know, earlier I was talking about park hopping, and if you park hop, you only can get fast passes at one of the parks. So if you start your day at Magic Kingdom and move to Epcot, you can get fast pass pluses at Epcot, but you cannot get them at Magic Kingdom. You have to pick one. So you have to pick which park per day, which could be a pain in the rear for people who park hop and are used to getting fast passes. And I also mentioned that you can only get 3 or 4. There have been in the testing people getting 4 for Magic Kingdom sometimes, but the other parks have 3. Now, I don't think this is such a huge deal for most of the parks. I do think it's a big deal at Magic Kingdom because there are so many rides and shows and things to visit there. So even 4 sounds like not very many. So, you know, limiting it is kind of annoying, but at the other parks, it might be okay. Okay, so that's my first con, is that there's only one park per day and only 3 or 4 allowed per park per day. Okay, number 2, probably will only be one headliner allowed per day. And so this is very speculative. This is just based on logic. You know, if you are allowed to go online or in the app, and you can pick any 3 or 4 rides that you want. Most people, for instance, at Magic Kingdom will probably pick Big Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain, and Splash Mountain, like the 3 mountains. But if everybody does that, they'll get full really fast. And, you know, the people arriving day of have no chance of riding those unless they just stand in line. So logic tells me and other people who have speculated that there's a good chance they're going to limit people to only one headliner per day. And that is a big, 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 big problem, if you ask me. So that is a major con right now. And I think it's going to be a good reason to still show up early if they end up doing it this way, because it's still going to be a good time to visit the parks because most people don't want to get up early. But if you get up early, you can get those headliners in before the big crowds arrive, even if you do have FastPass Plus. Okay, so that's number 2 on the cons list. Number 3, you have to plan ahead. And that means that it's less spontaneous and you can't re-ride things once you've ridden them with FastPass. Okay, so let me dive into this a little bit. Okay, having to plan ahead is not inherently bad for me or most of the people listening to this or reading the website, because that's, after all, what you're here for, is to have information to help you plan ahead. However, there has always been a degree of spontaneity that you could employ if you would like. So, you know, you may plan ahead of... I always believe people should plan ahead and then leave room for flexibility, especially if you have little ones. You just never know what their mood's going to be that day and if they're going to be tired, or maybe they'll be in a really great mood so you can do more than you expected. There's just not a lot of room for flexibility if your rides are booked online 60 days ahead of time. For instance, you know, like if you have FastPass Pluses booked through noon and your toddler is having a meltdown at 11 o'clock, then, you know, you can't really use it. But if you, you know, with the old FastPass system, you would know, okay, well, we're going to have to go get the FastPasses for later, or, you know, I don't know. I'm sort of rambling on this now, but, you know, you just cannot be that flexible when so many things are booked ahead of time. And the second part of this that I mentioned was that you can't re-ride. So let's use those same toddlers as an example. A lot of toddlers love the Buzz Lightyear ride at Magic Kingdom. And I often tell people, if you are going on a trip focused on toddlers and they love Buzz Lightyear, ride it again and again and again if you want, because it's a fun ride and they don't stay that little for very long. However, with FastPass Plus, let's say you have a FastPass Plus to ride Buzz Lightyear, and then you want to ride it again, you can't get another fast pass to do it again, probably, because you've already booked them and you've already gotten your 3 or 4 that's allotted for the day. You can show up early and go to Buzz and ride Buzz, you know, right when the park opens. But, you know, it's just going to be harder to re-ride anything. You don't know 6 months or 2 months in advance if your toddler's going to really like a ride until you get there. And once you get there, it'd be really nice to be able to say, hey, that was fun. let's rewrite that. I'll pull a fast pass and write it again later. The way that fast pass is supposed to work, it'll eliminate a lot of that let's write it again sort of stuff. Okay? So that's the third thing, a third con. Now, the fourth one is that a smartphone is kind of required. Now, Disney will tell you that it's not required because they will have kiosks set up in the parks, but I personally don't want to stand in line for a kiosk within the theme parks and wait in line to make a reservation for a ride. So it definitely caters to people with smartphones. Now, we are, you know, a gadget family. We definitely have smartphones, but not everybody does. Not everybody wants to. Not everybody can afford it. Whatever the situation is, it's definitely is partial to people that have smartphones. For those of us that do have smartphones, we'll be able to make adjustments on the fly. Like if you've made a set of FastPass Plus reservations ahead of time, you can adjust them on your phone as needed. But for other people, it won't be quite so convenient. All right, the next con is that you cannot give or receive FastPasses to other people. So the give or receive thing is, okay, so let's say, like in my family, my daughter just started riding roller coasters for the first time. Even though she's 18, she was just always terrified of them. And she discovered recently that she really likes them. But until then, we would often use her park ticket to get an extra fast pass that somebody else could use because she wasn't going to use fast passes. So we would just stick her ticket into the machine and we would get a fast pass that somebody else could use. Now with this, you can't really do that so much. A non-rider will have a bracelet. They're called magic bands that everybody will have on that has all of their FastPass Plus information in it. And that's what you scan when you get ready to board a ride at your FastPass Plus time. If my daughter, for instance, decided she wasn't riding, then she would have her bracelet on. And in order for one of us to use it, we would have to take her bracelet from her to wear it to ride. And I don't know if they would allow it because there's definitely like personal information that's tied to everybody on it. But if they did, it would still be inconvenient. That bracelet is your, it becomes your way to pay for things like in the gift shops. It's the way to pay for food. It's everything. So taking my daughter's bracelet away from her so I could go ride Tower of Terror one more time just doesn't sound like a good plan if they'll even allow it. We're not even sure if they will. The other part of this is that we have often given people fast passes if we couldn't use them. So, for instance, my son and I decided that we didn't want to stay at Animal Kingdom very late, but we held Expedition Everest fast passes. And so before we left the park, we walked over to the Expedition Everest standby line and we gave the fast passes to somebody so that they wouldn't have to wait. You can't really give your fast passes away if they're programmed on your bracelet. So, you know, that's another con. It's always really fun to kind of make magical moments and give somebody else a fast pass, but we won't have that opportunity anymore. The last thing I have on my con list is that you can't do the same ride twice. Now, when you go online to make your 3 or 4 Fast Pass Plus reservations per day, repeating the same ride twice is not currently an option and hasn't been throughout the test. So if that continues to be the way it is when the system goes live, that could be kind of a pain. In my opinion. For instance, I love Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom. And if I'm online trying to make reservations, I would not be able to do that same ride 2 times in a row, which is kind of a pain. You know, with the current paper FastPass system, you definitely could do that if you wanted to. You could get as many FastPasses as you want throughout the day until the parks close, but not with the new system. So that kind of wraps up my kind of pros and cons list. And so I don't know if that's helpful. I hope it is. Once the system is live, we'll know a lot more. Every test reveals more information. And so I can definitely update it as we know more. The speculation right now this is being recorded in the last day of August. So speculation right now is the testing is currently out through the end of October for a huge number of people. And reports have said that every month just adds more and more people. And so the test, quote unquote test, becomes just a larger number of resorts that are allowed to participate until it's full blown you know, live. And I don't know how it's going to work for people staying off site. I have no idea. But presumably that it will expand out to include them. And so everybody will have access to FastPass Plus. So we'll see. Many reports have said now December 2013, but it's very speculative because if they're doing tests, then the test results could dictate that time move out into 2014, depending on the results. So we'll see how it goes. Fingers crossed. I have to admit to having a little bit of anxiety about it, partially because I've known what I was doing for so long that it's hard to change and not feel a little bit of insecurity, and partially because if it works the way I think it's going to work, it's not going to be as convenient for me as before and for most people who are planners. But we'll see. Let's be optimistic and hope for the best. Okay, before we head out today, I have a quick tip of the day. My quick tip today is that I suggest that you find a new scent before your trip, and like a plug-in scent that you've never had in your house. It's not necessarily something that's familiar to you. Take it on your trip, plug it in, and then after your trip, that scent in your memory will be tied to that vacation. So my daughter and I went to a place where you could formulate your own scent. You know, we could mix our own, and we took that on a trip. And now when I smell things that are similar to that, I automatically think of 2005. And because smell memory is so, so strong, you know, like if you have a teacher in elementary school that wears a certain perfume, even as a grown adult, that perfume smell will take you back to second grade. And so the same thing can work on your vacations. So that's one way to kind of have a good memory of your trip and be reminded of it forever, potentially. So I hope that is helpful. I think that wraps up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode6. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.